Welcome back to the Star Court Lounge. It has been a while since we've had my co-host Jason on, and what do you know? He's joining us today.
I don't know if you can call me a co-host.
Well,
co-host is someone who like is repeatedly on. This is like the fourth time I've been here.
Something like that. I think in all truth, the number of podcasts that we have on our like channel or feed here is less than the actual podcast where we have any real like conversational topics or content are less than the ones where it's just like, hey, it's October, we're doing some spooky Halloween Call of Cthulhu stuff.
That's
or fair. Let's take a look. I've got it pulled up right now. Oh, how many podcasts do we have, I wonder? Well, let's see.
I'm pretty sure I've seen you. I think you have like 8 total.
3, 4,
on the channel.
So, after Halloween, there will be 17 different podcast episodes on our Anchor page. Lately, because it is much easier to just sit down and read a public domain book, that's what I've been doing. Like I've got a couple Edgar Allan Poe books on there. I just finished, I know I was talking to you about it a little bit before, but I just finished off a 3-part Call of Cthulhu solo adventure series that'll be releasing over the next week and a half. The last episode will be out on Halloween, so that'll be exciting, because I think the last Call of Cthulhu we did is probably one of the most popular. Yeah, it's up there.
You, it's like you say we did as if I had anything to do with it.
You were spiritually there for moral support.
Oh yeah, that's right. I'm I'm in the corner of every single one of these, just watching you and judging you. I forgot about that.
Silently watching, silently judging.
I mean, I didn't forget. I was intentionally misleading.
Yeah, we're just making sure the viewers or the listeners are on the top of their toes.
On their tippy toes.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think the last actual numbered podcast episode was number 8. And that one is titled something. It's still loading. I don't even remember.
The last one I remember doing was, I think, the pre-Turkey Day, Turkey Day thing.
Oh, yeah. That one's
the Turkey Day's. Yeah, Turkey Day's Eve or something.
Yeah. Last one I did was What's New with an S in parentheses. And it was just me talking about channel updates. And apparently I was going through my thoughts on Cyberpunk 2077. Or it looks like Cyberpunk sci-fi in general.
I enjoyed Cyberpunk.
I've not played a lot.
Let's check here.
I've maybe got pretty much all of my time put into Cyberpunk has been in the myriad of episodes I've put on the YouTube channel.
Gotcha. I have just under 30 hours of playtime.
Dang. I think I'm at like 16.
Most of it is just running around killing people.
That'll do it.
Like those, whatchamacallit, not crime scenes, but those...
like the side quests?
They're like side quests where like you just go to an area and everyone's mad at you for some reason. You just have to kill everybody.
Oh, like the crimes in progress or whatever they are?
Yeah, that one. I just sprint around and one-hit people with a knife because I can do like 3,200 damage in one stab for some reason.
Jeez. I am nowhere near that far in that game.
Oh, I have barely done anything in the story at all. I have done a lot of side stuff, so I have a lot of street cred and all that shit level, but I have done literally nothing. What's-his-face is still sitting in the diner waiting for me.
Jackie?
No.
Oh, the...
The Japanese the guy that's, dude.
Yeah, the guy that saves you from the Yamamoto, the heist gone wrong.
Yes.
Shows you how much that game spoke to us.
I haven't played it since February, so.
I don't remember the last time I played it. Summation of my thoughts on it from that podcast episode were very meh. It was not gripping. I've never really jived a lot with cyberpunk genre games, though.
Yeah. And I don't know. That's the only one that I've played of that genre was Cyberpunk 2077.
I played a little bit of the Deus Ex, like Adam Jensen one. So Mankind Divided and Human Revolution.
Yeah. I remember I played maybe a collective 2 hours of that game. Maybe.
I'm also not a fan of like that style of combat in the Deus Ex games. But I don't know. There's just like Witcher. By comparison, I really liked. Still haven't completed that game story, even though
that's because there's an obscene 3 million hours. Yeah. There's 3 million hours of playable content in that game, and if you miss any of it, you will be smote.
Yes.
By God himself.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. The like RPGs or big open world games like that that I want to play are like your Fallouts and Skyrims, just because there's a little bit.
Ooh, speaking of Skyrim,
we got was it 10th anniversary. 10th anniversary.
The 10th anniversary is coming out. You know, you have to pay full price, probably $60 for anniversary edition. You know what they're adding? Fishing and aquariums.
Yeah, I was gonna say I saw aquariums.
That's it.
Like, oh
wow, you
can
go fishing and you, yeah, it's dumb.
Totally worth the $60 upgrade.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day when Skyrim was like, I mean, it's never really been irrelevant, but when it was more relevant than it is today,
yeah.
I remember they had their mounted combat update that was completely free.
Oh my, I forgot that that was a thing. Wow, that's a throwback.
I remember that was still when I was playing the Xbox 360 version.
Yeah. That's, my goodness, that game is, just can't be killed.
As much as Todd tries.
Yeah, I don't know. I still like it. I've got a load order built for like a playthrough revolving around the Legacy of the Dragonborn.
Yeah.
But it's just like sitting down to find that, the time to actually record is a bitch.
Is that the museum mod?
Yep.
Yeah. I've been sitting down. I wanted to play Skyrim, but then I was like, I don't want to have to go through and, because I wanted to go through and play like a mostly vanilla Skyrim to re-experience the game.
Yeah.
As it was on launch, but I don't want to have to go through and clean out the entire game files and all that shit from the amount of mods that I've put in there. Yeah. And then I also wanted to play, then I wanted to play Oblivion because I wanted to play back through the Dark Brotherhood quest line because that was really fun.
That'd be a fun game to play.
But then as I was thinking about that, I found on YouTube a guy who was doing like reviews of the old Assassin's Creed stuff.
Yeah.
And he was, the first video I saw from him was playing, how he played, was it Unity in like 2019?
Mm-hmm.
So like doing like a retrospective on the game and then replaying back through it after several years. Fun fact, the game's still unfinished. It's the first game that I've ever played that I've actually had a bunch of the bugs that people complained about.
Yeah.
Because like Cyberpunk, I never really had any bugs, really.
I had a few, nothing game-breaking, but I had a few like issues where really early on, like in the first couple of days of launch, were like guns or models would be just floating in the air, or I had Jackie just like phase through closed doors and stuff like that. I'm like, I'm just gonna pretend like that didn't happen.
I never really had anything like that, to be honest. Like, I also got the game after I made my final upgrades to my computer.
Yeah.
Like, two months before NVIDIA announced their RTX 3000 series, but still not salty about that at all.
Bummer. I mean, you could probably sell your card and, well...
Well,
you probably could, but you'd still be
then
having to hunt down another one. And
they're not too bad anymore. You can get, it's really easy to find them now with bundles.
Yeah.
And the bundles being about on par with how much the card would be itself.
Yeah. And you probably, I guess, truthfully, between the 30 series and what you have, you're probably not going to get a huge amount of performance boost.
I was mostly salty about paying the full price for a brand new 2080 Ti.
Yeah.
And then immediately after that, hey, 3000 series is announced.
Kay. At least you didn't have to pay scalper prices.
That's fair. That's very fair. But no, I was playing like Fallout 76 and... there's another game I was thinking of, but it was Fallout 76, Cyberpunk, and another game that I can't remember the name of off the top of my head. I can't even remember which one it was, but it was supposed to be like a really, really buggy mess that I just never encountered, like any of the, like the worst thing I ever encountered in like Fallout 76 was like, it wouldn't let me log in a few times, which I'd put more down to the servers.
Server or capacity like online, issues. Yeah.
Rather than the game itself being buggy. I guess I'm really glad I never got, my system never got bricked like some people's did.
76 Unity, was bricking systems?
Yeah.
Dang.
There was several people that, reported their systems just being completely inoperable after playing the game.
Interesting. I hadn't heard about that one. I've heard... And I've seen a bunch of like coverage on the, what was that new like Amazon Studios video game?
Oh, in a New World.
Yeah, where that was actually like breaking, like 30 series graphics cards just because of how poorly coded it is.
Yep.
Like you'd be sitting at the main menu, and you'd be getting like 400 frames a second, and all of a sudden your card would be like. Spiking to like 150% power draw when you're, and even if you tried to underclock your thing to like you had to make it like 70% power draw in order to actually have it not spike to 120% or ridiculous amounts. And it was causing it to like pop solder joints and shit.
I mean, that's yes, a lot on the game itself, but I mean, the 30 series cards are known for doing that anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's what, so like that's they what
recommend
they
having. Yeah, they recommend having like the recommended power supply wattage. They recommend going way over that. A lot of the people that were doing the reviews on them, they like go way over that because it's going to spike to well above that.
Oh no, it wasn't an issue with like the power supply. Like you could have like a 1,000-watt power supply. It wasn't like that. It was the issue was the card itself. You could set it like say 100% power draw and say it's supposed to be pulling 200 watts of power or something like that for its rating. What would be happening is like you could just be sitting on the menu and all of a sudden your card is jumping to 300 watts and then plummeting back down to 200, and then it would just be rapid jumps in voltage that would be causing a lot of stress on like solder joints. So the poor coding of the game was exposing hardware flaws of the cards, and like the manufacturers, it seemed like EVGA was like the big one. Was like even admitted, like this was an issue or an issue on like certain first generation cards. We'll obviously cover that under warranty, and we'll revise that design. But it's just like, wow. A game that is just so poorly coded is causing that at the main menu.
What else do you expect from Amazon, to be honest? I mean,
not much.
Yeah. No, Unity, I had a bunch of people were like moonwalking and weird model shit, like animations not actually playing out.
Okay.
Like, I still haven't had any of the like faces disappearing yet.
I was going to say, in the very limited amount I played that game, I never ran into any bugs or glitches that I remember.
Yeah.
I think the only issue I've ever run into on a game with like bugs or glitches or anything like that was Fallout 3, where all of a sudden one of my save files somehow got corrupted.
Oh, and then you like you'd see like the missing textures everywhere, and you're just in the void of exclamation points. Yeah.
It's like all of a sudden I was like pretty far along in the save, entered my home in Megaton, and then all of a sudden it's just like, nope, your save is dead. Start over.
That's...
Have a nice day. Don't go around, go and collect $200. I'm like, wonderful.
God, I already have more playtime in Unity than I do in Cyberpunk.
Dang.
I have 82 hours. How many Assassin's Creed 2 hours do I have? Oh, 82 hours.
I've been meaning to like put more time into Origins, the one in Egypt, just because it's pretty cool setting. And then there's also the one that's in Greece, which is also pretty cool, but it's just like
Odyssey, finding time. I have that one. I'm so excited to play it, but I want to play Unity first.
Yeah.
I kind of want to go back through and play Assassin's Creed. I have all of them except for Origins and Valhalla.
Okay.
In some way, I have 1, 2. I could get Assassin's Creed 3 remastered if I bought the season pass for Odyssey.
I was going to say, I have 3 remastered. That's probably how I got it then.
I don't know. I'm just kind of against the whole season pass debacle thing. I don't know. Because I can't find actual pricing on all of the things that are included.
Right. And it's a lot of cosmetics, too.
Yeah.
And it's just like, really? You're going to be upcharging, anywhere from $20 to $40 at least, just because of a couple of in-game unlockables that you could otherwise probably find similar options to. Whatever.
Playing through Unity, I'm already finding shit like you can use a certain type of in-game currency to like hack like upgrades and hack equipment instead of buying it with like in-game earned money.
Interesting.
But it's like an in-game currency that you have to pay real money to get.
Right.
And I have not encountered a single way to unlock these Helix points.
They probably disabled their store.
Oh, you can still buy them.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, dude, you want to know what was really fucking funny? Opened Steam the other day, and it opens you right up to the store, and you know how it gives you like the deals of the day, featured and recommended stuff?
Yeah.
One of the featured and recommended tabs on there was straight up just Adams in the Adams store for Fallout 76.
What a tragedy. Now that's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
It was so dumb. I was like, are you fucking serious?
I think the last Assassin's Creed game I actually put a lot of time into and really, really enjoyed was 4. Black Flag was awesome with sea shanties and just pirates.
Yeah. I always loved Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood. Revelations, I liked, but I never played it as much.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of got burnt out by that point.
Revelations.
Burnt out on the Ezio.
Is that the one that was in Constantinople?
Yes, it is. Okay. Yeah,
with the zipline hook thing, when that was like the new gadget or tech that every game that was putting in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I loved Assassin's Creed 2 from launch.
Mm-hmm.
That one was always fun. I think I've 100%ed it like 2 times, 3 times. Like every single feather, every single everything.
Oh, damn.
I
never went that far.
Oh, no. I went hard in the paint for that game.
I've 100%ed the Arkham City a few times. And then I've 100%ed Arkham Asylum, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 times. Pretty much any version I've purchased, I've 100%ed.
Yeah.
The one game, though, that I've been really thinking of playing again is BioShock.
Ooh.
And I don't know, it's just like, I have an itch for it. And I'm a little bit bummed that the multiplayer for BioShock 2 is no longer a thing. Because, like,
that was I remember it being pretty fun.
Yeah. I mean, it was a little tacked on, but I really enjoyed it. Remember, like, switching between that and, like, I think Black Ops 1 or something like that, just going between the two. Like, for a game that had its roots in, like, single player, it wasn't poorly
bad.
Done. No.
I remember getting the Big Daddy power-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Being really fun.
And just massacre everyone.
Yeah. Oh. Going back to Assassin's Creed, though, in Unity, you can, like, buy different, like, clothing, essentially, to, like customize your assassin outfit. Yeah.
And armors and stuff like that. Okay.
Yeah. It was kind of they dipped their toe into the whole RPG aspect that they went full on in
Origins.
Origins.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. You could like all your different armors / like your coat, your pants, your hood and all that. And then you could get costumes.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a costume for like all of the previous protagonists.
Oh, okay.
So you could get like Altair's Master Assassin outfit. You could get Ezio's Master Assassin. You could get Connor and Edward's Master Assassin outfits.
Wasn't Unity also the one that they started implementing more of the co-op?
Yes, they have specific like co-op missions. Yeah. You can go through. You can like join people and play, and they have like a whole social aspect of the game that, to my knowledge, was never all that great.
No, that always really annoyed me. Like locking specific missions behind co-op.
They had you could still play them solo.
Could you? Oh,
they were just designed around being cooperative, but I remember Assassin's Creed Brotherhood had online matchmaking.
Yeah, it was like that hide and seek game.
Yeah, it was like hide and seek.
That shit was fun.
I remember it being fun, but I remember that being like, I don't know. I felt like it was added to the game purely because it was going through a like online multiplayer was going through like
it was the trend to tack it on to any game.
Yeah, it was going through like a golden age.
I had a lot of fun with it
because I'm pretty sure that was around the time of like Modern Warfare 2.
Right around there, yeah. Maybe shortly after. But yeah, I remember that being pretty enjoyable. Like looking back on it, it's very kind of Gmod like, where it's
yeah,
like Guess Who, I think is the Gmod game where it's like you
go around, you can like visually become other people.
Yeah.
And you have to blend in all that. I remember it being fun because it didn't like tack anything on necessarily. It was just using mechanics that you know from the game.
Yeah. Actually,
but instead of
think
stupid AI, you had to trick people online.
I think that was written around the time of like Arkham Origins and like those types of games where it's like, we're making this like predominantly single player game, but We're also going to throw a multiplayer in there because everyone else has multiplayer. Why can't we? So that was like 2013-ish.
BioShock 2.
So I think that was like right around 2011-2013. Because that's when 2013 is when Origins came out.
Yeah. Or other predominantly single player games adding multiplayer, BioShock 2.
Yeah. Some had better success with it than others, shall we say.
I do remember the multiplayer for BioShock 2 being a lot better than the single player campaign in that game.
Yeah, I played through it once and don't remember a lot of it. I remember the basic premise was that you're a big daddy named Delta and you're trying something to track like down that. Eleanor. Beyond that, I don't remember a lot. I remember there's one spot where you're in a like a bathysphere train thing and you get hit by torpedoes and you have to like fix it.
Yeah.
And then there was the big sisters.
Yeah. I was just scrolling through the game's library page.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a review here. Recommended with about 14 hours on record. It is a game where a dad fight other dads to become the dadliest dad and acquire as many daughters as you can. 10 of 10, would dad again.
Too true. That's a very good summation. It's like the whole explain a movie badly type thing.
Yes.
That is a very fitting explanation that would fit in that.
I am a little glad that BioShock 2 didn't do that well, because I would not have wanted a BioShock 3 where you play as a big sister.
Yeah. Well, I think part of
because
it...
Because since... Yeah.
I don't think the original team that did BioShock 1 did BioShock 2. I think it was like, oh, BioShock was actually a huge success. We want a second one, so they kind of like spun up a sub-team or something like that, and they did that one. And then, lot of the original team for BioShock did Infinite, if I remember correctly.
Gotcha. I remember BioShock Infinite being... I completely forgot about BioShock Infinite until I started talking about a BioShock 3.
Infinite was... I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun.
I liked it. I enjoyed that Elizabeth, I believe, was invulnerable, so you never had to like worry too much about her.
Yeah, I think she could maybe be knocked like unconscious or something like that, but she wasn't like, it wasn't like a traditional fetch quest, like protect your follower, where you had to like micromanage their health in addition to yours. She was like,
because
she was actually like competent.
Because like the fact that she would like throw you ammo and all that shit.
Yeah.
But, the funny part was that the entire game would have just been an entire fucking
escort mission.
Escort mission.
Hate those.
It would have been the most tedious game ever fucking made.
My biggest issue with like escort or like follow missions and like say like a Skyrim or something like that is like they don't move fast enough. For any
they don't move.
You're either moving too fast with just like your standard like jogging, or if you do your slow walk, you're too slow.
You're too slow.
It's like,
yeah.
Witcher kind of got that right, where they would match the follower and kind of make it proportional to your speed, so you kind of keep together.
Or in Red Dead Redemption, where you could just hold the X button and it would just automatically, you'd follow the person you're talking to at the beginning of the mission at their pace.
That's super nice.
It was amazing. Apparently, God of War 4 is coming to PC at some point.
I've heard. There's been a handful of PlayStation games that are been slated to come to PC.
Which is really weird.
It like is. Usually... I would love to see Bloodborne.
Yeah. Bloodborne. I'm pretty sure I've seen some for Bloodborne 2.
Coming to PC. There's been rumors Currently, the only way you can get Bloodborne to play on a PC is if you're like a PlayStation Now subscriber and you can like stream it.
Or emulators.
Yeah.
If they have PS4 emulators yet, I'm not sure. I haven't looked up emulators in a while.
Dang, Sekiro is still my most played game.
By
like a 30-hour margin.
How do you find out what your most played game is?
If you just go to your library in Steam and then scroll down a little bit to all games, you can sort it by hours played. Yeah, I have Sekiro with 109 hours of gameplay.
Okay, so I'm at my library.
And then, yeah, if you scroll down...
All games sort by... Where is it? Hours played. Oh, yeah. It is World at War, Civ 5, and then Skyrim.
That tracks. That makes sense. My top three are Sekiro, Civ 5, and Fallout 4.
Fallout 4 doesn't even beat out Assassin's Creed Unity. On this, it doesn't even beat out Phasmophobia.
In Steam, I have both Arkham Origins and Arkham City with more gameplay time in Steam than I have in Cyberpunk or Witcher combined.
Oh, wait. Never mind. It's because it's showing only my installed games. I don't have Fallout 4 installed. Fallout 4 is, pretty aptly, the fourth most played game.
Nice. But yeah, you could combine my time in Witcher 3 and Cyberpunk 2077, and it still doesn't even... It's a... it's at 2039. No. It actually does beat out Origins. It's less than Arkham City, which I have 46 and a half hours in somehow.
Oh my god. I need to play another couple hours of American Truck Simulator. I have 164 hours on for American Truck Simulator. But American Truck Simulator is my seventh most played game. Slightly beat out by an hour by 7 Days to Die. And I want 7 Days to Die to be my seventh most played game.
My top... What did they do this in sixes? So my top 12... from most to least is Sekiro, Civ 5, Fallout 4, Arkham City, Fallout New Vegas, Beat Saber, Arkham Origins, Elder Scrolls Online, Witcher 3, Cyberpunk, Town of Salem, and then Phasmophobia.
Wait.
It's a weird hodgepodge.
How do I have 100 hours of KOTOR 1?
Knights of the Old Republic? Holy crap, that's a...
I must have had that open in the background for something and forgotten about it because I do not remember playing that game almost at all. KOTOR 2 is my eighth most played game. That makes sense. My top 12 is World at War, Civ 5, Skyrim, Fallout 4, Oblivion, 7 Days to Die, American Truck Simulator, KOTOR 2, The Sith Lords, House Flipper.
Dang.
Skyrim Special Edition. Black Ops 3, then KOTOR 1.
You've got a really weird mix of games.
Yeah. Oh, Disco Elysium. I should go back and play that game. I've never even finished that game. I should go back and play Disco Elysium and Wasteland 3. Oh, Metro Exodus. Oh my god.
Yeah, there's a lot of good games.
Bloons Tower Defense 6. Oh, Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfire. I can play that too.
There's so many good games, and then it's just like finding the time to actually play them.
Yeah.
And in like what capacity?
Oh, I should go back and play some Valheim too.
Because like most of my casual gaming lately has just been like I get home and then I'm like, I'm just going to boot up MLB and then just play that for a little bit.
Yeah. My god, I forgot I got WWE 2K16.
Oh my god. what were they, the SmackDown vs. Raw games?
Yeah, SmackDown vs. Raw.
Those
we had 2006 through 2009, I think we had.
Those games were we played a lot.
Those games are really, 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 really fun.
And then we'd always strive to try to unlock some of, like, the legends.
Yeah.
Who were just, like, kind of OP.
It was always stupid. It was stupid hard to get them.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of stupid esoteric shit that you had to do to mm-hmm. unlock them.
And I remember Elimination Chamber, I think that seemed to be our favorite one.
Elimination Chamber and Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Were the most fun ones I remember. That I remember, at least.
Oh, those games.
Playing a lot of.
God, PS2.
I should get my VR set up.
PS2 era stuff. Like, that and Xbox. Like, OG Xbox. Not this, like, Xbox yes. One, Xbox 360. No, yeah. OG.
I'm still waiting for Xbox 2.
Do you remember that go-karting game that we would play? And be like
Furious Karting.
Something like that, where you'd be like driving along and your primary weapon was
chickens at people.
Yes. Or you had a metal bat you'd just club someone in the back of the head with.
Yep.
Damn, games back then were
fucking wild.
Yeah. It's the Wild West. And now everything is just like
the same fucking game.
Iterations on iterations of the same thing in franchises.
Each genre is the same fucking game.
Yeah.
Just made by a different company.
Pretty much. The one game that I bought recently, have yet to actually boot up and play, is Deathloop. Because that looked pretty interesting.
Oh, I thought about getting that, but I thought about getting it, and I sat on the store page for a while, and I was like, nah, I just, watching the trailer for it, I was just like, I remember not enjoying too much that game, like that gameplay in Dishonored.
Oh, yeah.
I just didn't have that much fun with it.
I have only ever played Dishonored 1. I have Dishonored 2 and the like spin-off Death of the Outsider.
Death of the Outsider.
Haven't played them yet. Still again Same. Have yet to boot up and actually play Deathloop, but like the art and all that looks pretty fun. Cuz most of my gaming lately has been either MLB, Fallout New Vegas, or I actually did a little bit of Call of Duty Cold War. And Overwatch, and then I'm like, I'm really kind of bored with those, so I booted up some Master Chief Collection the other night.
Ooh.
And was playing some, like, Battle Rifle BR Slayer and a little bit of SWAT. And holy hell, I was bad.
I just found the absolute perfect excuse to play some Metro Exodus again.
The enhanced edition?
Yes.
Yep.
I was just going through all my games and I saw that. There's a bunch of games on here that I bought and I either never played or haven't played in a long ass fucking time. Like Rainbow Six Siege.
Oh my.
Or Stalker. PUBG.
Speaking of Stalker.
Yeah.
There's a new Stalker game coming out.
Oh, I think I've seen that.
Microsoft announced that at their E3 showcase like four months ago. I am cautiously interested in what the hell's the new Bethesda one? Starfield. Yeah. Because it looks like it might be cool, just because it's not like your, it's not like Outer Worlds space, like super sci-fi, like pulp that way, but it's like, seems a little bit more grounded. Like, it was such a dumb thing in the trailer that like really piqued my interest, is like when they were doing the rocket takeoff from whatever planet or moon they were on, it had like the little fuel shooting across the funnel or the rocket engine cone before it like actually lit up and took off. I'm like, that's pretty cool. So I am not I will be very cautiously optimistic about it.
I mean, that's just anything Bethesda.
Pretty much.
I'm still salty about the whole Elder Scrolls 6 thing.
That it's, like, still, like, 10 years away?
It's just gonna be perpetually forever away. Like, they've... Yeah. I don't know.
I guess, who knows? Now that they're owned by Microsoft, they might have... And I know that they've been expanding their development teams. Maybe that, with that extra cash capital from Microsoft and expanding those teams, they can get better work faster on multiple projects simultaneously, where rather than
get better quality products on release date.
Yeah.
Not have to have like 15 people work on their first ever online game.
76, I haven't heard a lot of issues about recently or lately. I don't know.
It's because the game died.
Well, yeah, that doesn't help. But
you don't hear much about dead things when it wasn't great in the first place.
I enjoyed the little bit of time I put into it. It was very much, I don't know.
It was fun.
It got boring after a bit, though.
Yeah, it wasn't the multiplayer Fallout experience I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really even want a multiplayer Fallout experience. I wanted a multiplayer Elder Scrolls experience, which I still didn't quite get out of ESO.
Yeah.
But ESO is a much better game because it wasn't made by Bethesda.
Yeah, Elder Scrolls Online is fun. I think MMOs as a whole, I don't care for a variety of reasons, just because they're very grindy.
And the thing I like about
Skyrim and stuff like that is, like, running around the world and, like, I like when I mod them to have some survival aspect to it, which you just don't get in MMOs.
Yeah. I am super excited to start getting my VR stuff set up again.
Yeah.
So that I can play some Skyrim VR.
I was going to say, that's one way you could do like a vanilla experience of Elder, like 5. You just do VR or install Old Rim. If they let you do that still.
They have Skyrim Script Extender as like a full on, like as an actual like Steam thing you can install off of Steam.
Dang. I'll still go to Silverlock.
Yeah. I have legitimate playtime under Skyrim Special Edition. Script Extender.
So I resurrected one of our old laptops with a Linux install, and it actually works pretty nicely. And I've contemplated like either dual booting or like setting up something for gaming. But then I always come back to like modding is going to be a bitch. Like you can do it, but it's a pain in the ass. So I'm like, no, I ain't going to do that.
No, thank you.
Like conceptually, I would really like it. If I was just doing like multiplayer type games, I probably wouldn't have any real issue with it. But like, the heart of any of the recording or things that I do is like modded Fallout, modded whatever. And like Nexus doesn't have an official Linux support. So like you can make it work, but it's going to be a lot of setup and configuration and just a lot of maintenance that I don't need to do on Windows.
Oh, wait.
Also, shit. I don't know if you've heard, but don't upgrade to Windows 11 yet.
I wasn't planning on it.
Cool, because Windows 11 has, and I think they are working on patching it out. I don't know if they have yet or not, but you can see up to a 15% performance hit just for having an AMD processor because of how closely Microsoft worked with Intel on their new hybrid architecture for like task scheduling for the processor. So I'm like, one more reason not to go to Windows 11. Not that I had any intention of doing that right now. Wasteland, is that... Oh, that's that, classic RPG, like, Fallout.
Yeah. I think it was made by
some of the guys
from the same people who made the original.
I think Fallout game. I have attempted to play Fallout 2, original Fallout. I don't care for that style of game too much. I've done some Pillars of Eternity, and I like it a little bit more, but that top-down kind of like strategy. The thing that with like Pillars of Eternity that kept annoying me is like, I hated the turn-based stuff in like Fallout, in Fallout 2, but then I get to Pillars of Eternity, and I'm like, I don't care for this like real-time squad combat stuff. So I would always invariably go back to like more of a turn-based tactical style with it.
Oh, I always had that. It feels like D&D.
Yeah. And I've played a little bit of a Divinity. No, Divinity, not Divinity. God, words.
Yeah.
And again, it's just that top-down, like, classic RPG just doesn't really do it for me.
Yeah.
I'm much more first-person or third-person.
Oh, I like the... There has to be certain isometric games like that for me to play them.
Yeah, I think the only isometric game that I really put any time into are like the Civ games.
Yeah, Civ is fun. Civ's always a fun game to just sit down and...
Yeah, just because it's super chill. You don't have to just sit back and manhandle the computer.
Well, unless you play with certain people who want to micromanage every Min-max. Single little detail about that game.
Yeah.
If you don't do the exact right thing, it's just not fun because you're just losing, and then you just, yeah.
Last time I played Civ 5 was a while back. I did an Egypt marathon and did a culture victory. That was pretty fun.
Well, shit, I accidentally clicked on Civ 5, so now it says last played today.
Oops.
Shit.
I still have Civ 6 installed. Interesting. Last played in April.
March for me.
March was when I played Civ 6 last.
Civ 6 was... I remember we tried playing some online Civ 6.
And then it just decided to not.
Yeah. Civ 6 is fun. It was a lot more fun than I remembered it being.
I was just scrolling and saw Battlefront 2 Classic from like 05.
Like, oh my god, that game
is so good. And I wish that...
Another PS2 game.
I wish that Jedi Outcast on PC still had multiplayer.
Yeah.
Because I don't even care if I don't get to play with other people, because that's not what I wanted for. I wanted to, like...
Just play against the AI?
Yeah. Like, go to Bespin and, like, throw them off of that bridge.
Yes.
Or go to the Death Star and, like, hell yeah. That's what we lived on. Oh, there was the... Because there's, like, the Bespin, like, underground one.
Yes.
That was kind of, like, based around, like, episode 5. But then there was also the... I don't remember what it was, but it was, like, just massive, like, catwalks and stuff like that, where it was just basically you take one long step and you're, like, over the edge and dead.
Yeah, I don't remember what that one is either.
Those were classics.
That was a really fun game. Again, PS2 and Xbox.
Yeah, yeah. Such good games.
And then there was a Slugfest 2004.
Yeah.
The pinnacle of sport game.
I have no joke thought about getting like a component video to HDMI converter just to be able just to run so like
you can play it.
Just to be able to run like old like PS2 and stuff like that and like stream it. Because like that'd be so much fun.
You could at least for a lot of the Xbox games, you could just do it through 360.
Yeah. Which is probably a lot better because I don't think any of our old Xbox controllers actually work.
Nope, probably not.
And they use like that stupid proprietary connector.
Yeah.
That was like the era of, well,
everything had to be different. Its own like thing.
PlayStation had their own like weird thing. Nintendo had their own weird thing, but that's always been Nintendo.
Nintendo's always been weird.
They just kind of do whatever they want. And because, like, people still buy them because of Mario and Zelda, they're like, cool. They just don't even try to really compete with Microsoft and Sony.
Yeah, they stopped at, I don't think they've never really tried.
No.
Nintendo's always just...
They just march to the beat of their own weird drum.
They've just made the most fun gameplay.
Yeah. Well, I think part of it, too,
they've always been very stylized, but very fun.
Yeah. Well, part of it, too, is, like, how many people do you know that, like, are, if you ask them, like, PlayStation versus Xbox, and they're, like, diehard, it's like, oh, it's got to be this one. But then they're, like,
yeah,
they also have a Nintendo system. Just because, like, Mario, Zelda, Animal Crossing, whatever it might be.
Gotta play that, Dude, I'm super hype for Breath of the Wild 2.
That'll be a lot of fun. Breath of the Wild 1 was stellar.
I'm imagining there's going to probably be some co-op play, which sounds really fun.
I would expect so, yeah.
We need more local multiplayer games.
Yeah.
We need that era back. Good local multiplayer games, not just games that kind of have some local multiplayer. Good local multiplayer games.
Agreed.
Shit, be going an hour and never even brought up what I was originally wanting to talk about.
That sounds about right.
Oh, well. Oh, well.
There's always another episode.
This was more fun than talking about Dave Chappelle's new special anyway.
I did start watching a Bo Burnham special today, though.
Oh, Inside?
No, I have watched that one. Loved it.
Oh,
then I watched.
Really?
I watched. What was this one before that? Make Happy?
I think it was Make Happy. Yeah.
That one I enjoyed.
There's,
and then I
what
started.
Make Happy, then Inside.
And then I watched. I started watching his special What today.
Yeah, his Netflix. Older specials were really, really funny.
Because the first time I saw Inside, I'm like, all right, I know that Bo Burnham is supposed to be a comedian. And I'm like, this is...
I know you're supposed to be a comedian, Bo Burnham. Make with the funny.
Yeah, but I'm like, this feels like a documentary of someone just completely losing their mind in the middle of the pandemic. And it was just like weirdly fascinating. Because that's like what... I kept going back to him like I get that he is a comedian and that this is supposed to be some sort of like comedy special, but like the entire time I'm like, this is just him like vlogging his experience in the pandemic while making a special, and he's just losing his mind.
I feel like a lot of people liked it so much because they identified with it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They liked the, you know, little window into a famous person going through the same shit they were going through. And I don't know.
But then also
my job never got like
shut down.
Yeah. So I just kept going to work.
Nothing really
every
changed
day,
for you.
And my life was never that.
Yeah.
Except for when I did get COVID and had to quarantine for 2 weeks, it was. But even then, it was like, oh, it just feels like when I was unemployed.
Yeah.
Woo.
I don't know.
I didn't
seeing his newer
very
stuff.
Very funny most of the time.
Or I guess not newer stuff.
Older stuff.
Yeah, older stuff. Like, there was a few, like, funny moments. And the music I thought was catchy. But the thing.
The music was good. His music has always been good. But his music also used to be funny.
Yeah. Like, the thing.
I found his music was good, just wasn't all that funny.
Mm-hmm.
The funniest part of Inside that I remember watching was like the bit about like streaming.
Oh, yeah.
And how he was, like, playing the game where he was the character and, like...
He's like, oh, this makes him cry.
The game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just perpetually making him cry.
His meta
humor... That one was pretty fucking funny.
His meta humor is, like, super good. Like, that was his entire... Oh,
I loved his...
That was his entire premise for May Cappy was, like... It was, like, super meta. And
oh my god, the ending to Make Happy with the fucking Kanye thing.
Oh my, yes.
Fucking golden.
My hand still isn't fit in a Pringles can.
Loved it. Fucking golden. His finales were always amazing. And then his inside finale was just kinda... It was... Wasn't amazing. It was good. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. It was, but like seeing a lot of his, it was always watching. It was like more of a experience than like a comedy. It's like felt very documentarian. And it was like always how much of this is actually like just him acting versus like real. And then it's like seeing some of his older stuff and like, okay, it's like a lot of this is very careful, and it would make sense, like it's very carefully curated to have that effect and
for
not
real?
Just like
I got the
random like, oh, now he's everything had a purpose and was like curated. It wasn't just like random.
I watching Inside, I got the same feel from Inside that I get when I watch movies that are clear, like, Oscar bait.
Mm.
Like, Uncut Gems for Adam Sandler. I got that same vibe.
Yeah.
That it's just like, they're just going way over the top, like, artistic vision with this to try and get awards. That's the vibe I got from it. And I just don't respond well to it at all.
That movie was... hard to watch.
Uncut Gems, yeah.
Similar to the Joker film with Joaquin Phoenix, but in a slightly different way. Like, the Joker film was hard to watch because of, like, the atmosphere that the filmmakers were able to create and generate was just oppressive and depressing. And, like, super well done because it, like, makes you feel... for Arthur, like,
dude, I watched,
Uncut Gems was just a bunch of assholes.
Yeah, I saw Joker in the theaters the way it was meant to be seen. Okay, I went to the theater on Sunday at like 10:30 in the morning, and it was playing in one of the smaller theaters.
Okay,
where it's only got like the four or five rows of the Dream recliners or whatever. I was one of two people in that theater.
Oh, dang.
So I saw it the way it was meant to be seen, alone, essentially alone.
That's pretty much how I saw it, but I saw it after it came out and I purchased it on Amazon.
Oh. Yeah. No, I went to go see it in the theaters, and then yeah, the way it was meant to be seen, alone in a society.
One movie, though, that scrolling through my like YouTube and going down the YouTube rabbit hole that I've come across that I really want to rewatch again was, I'm going to draw a blank on it, No Country for Old Men.
Ooh.
I love that movie.
There was... When I was still living at home, there was a brief period of time where I was obsessed with Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
And bought all of his movies on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go back and watch those movies because I remember them being really good. Like Ezra Miller in There Will Be Blood.
Such a good movie.
I think it was Ezra Miller. No.
I don't think it was, but he looks very similar to him.
It wasn't Ezra Miller. It was, I can't remember the guy's name, but very similar actor too. That was really good. The Fighter, I want to say. I think it was The Fighter. where he's in like Northern Ireland when it's maybe I don't remember, maybe the Boxer or something like that.
I think I know what you're really talking about. Yeah, the ones that I've seen that are prominently coming to mind besides Lincoln were There Will Be Blood.
I Drink Your Milkshake.
Which was so good. I
Drink It Up.
I love that. And then The Gangs of New York.
Gangs of New York. Hell yes.
Which is just like a 3-hour film of just like brutality.
It's a 3-hour movie of Daniel Day-Lewis and Leo DiCaprio acting at each other.
Yes.
And it was... Then you go back and you see Liam Neeson's in it.
Yeah.
You see Brendan Gleeson's in it. Brendan Gleeson. There we go. I can't remember the actor's name, so I was like, oh, Mad-Eye Moody.
There was a lot of star power in that film.
John C. Reilly. Cameron Diaz. I feel like there's more that I'm forgetting.
And the fact that Scorsese directed it.
It was fucking amazing. That movie, like, if any movie can get me to sit down and watch a 3-hour experience.
Yes. So good. So good. And it wasn't like, I feel like a lot of those types of films where you get like those big name method actor type people can get super pretentious.
Yeah.
I feel like Day-Lewis doesn't.
I don't hear enough about Day-Lewis to know if he does or doesn't. Like, I don't hear about him other than his, when he's in a movie.
He's very low profile in his personal life. But, like, I feel like a lot of times those movies as a whole, though, were like, oh, we've got so-and-so, and he's, like, that method actor type person. So it gets, like, super, like, up its own ass.
Yeah, like any actor who plays the Joker after Heath Ledger.
Yeah. Joaquin wasn't so bad. He took the role seriously, but he wasn't like method acting like Leto was.
I guess, yeah.
Leto was fair. Just doing cringy shit to like get headlines. Like, what the fuck?
The shitty part was they cut all of the like sensical stuff for the Joker being in the film. Like,
yeah.
They cut everything that made
sense.
His presence makes sense. Yeah. And they like changed the entire meaning and everything. Like, I was watching something not too long ago about it, and it was clear that it was supposed to, like, if you watch the Birds of Prey,
yeah,
like the Joker is supposed to like quote break up with Harley Quinn, and Harley's supposed to be like figuring out how to like be independent and all that,
right?
But and that was supposed to happen in the Suicide Squad, but then last minute rewrites just said nah.
Put that on old.
That ain't gonna. Yeah.
Yeah, there was that. I watched Snyder Cut. Really enjoyed it.
I really want to watch Snyder Cut, but I think it was like 4 hours.
It is. I watched it over the course of a couple of days just because it was like a 4-hour thing. It was a really good film. But the end. Have you heard about the ending? Like, kind of like post credits type of scene?
No.
With Leto?
I don't believe so. No.
Oh. Well, he makes a cameo appearance, like, way at the very end in, like, a kind of a pseudo post-credits scene.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the exact quote, but says something to the effect about giving Batman a handy. Or some sort of, like, sexual favor. And then Jesus Batman... Christ. At some point within the exchange between the two says something to the effect that he'll fucking kill him. Like, whoa. Shit. Have you seen the new Batman trailer?
Is there a new one that came out recently?
It came out within like the last week, maybe.
Then no.
Looks pretty cool. He's going to be, apparently the whole premise is that he's going to be like maybe a year or two into his crime fighting, so pretty new on the job, and he's, looks like it's going to be featuring prominently Penguin, played by Colin Farrell, Catwoman, who is played by Zoe Kravitz, I think is her name,
Yes.
And then he'll be tracking down and trying to find a serial killer. And that serial killer apparently is going to be the Riddler.
Paul Dano. That's the actor from...
There Will Be Blood.
There Will Be Blood. Mm. Paul Dano. That whiny motherfucker who spends 80% of his screen time in that movie screaming.
And then he gets his head bashed in with a bowling pin.
Yeah. Poor guy. Dude, the guy who's playing James Gordon, Jeffrey Wright, looks like Uncle Phil.
In the new Batman?
Yeah, he looks like Uncle Phil. And then you got Gollum playing Alfred.
Andy Serkis. Hell yeah. He'll be exciting to see.
What? Matthew McConaughey?
What?
What the fuck? He's in the Batman, but as who?
Interesting.
What the shit? He's like way down the list, too.
That's intriguing.
What the fuck?
Oh, Paul Dano's the Riddler. I don't know. It looks like it's John Turturro. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I don't know. It looks like it's going to be a super solid film. And then there's also the new Flash movie that's bringing back Keaton Batman.
Yeah, I've seen some stuff about that.
It'll be an interesting time for DC. See if they're actually going to do I think the idea is that they're going to be doing like just a full wholesale like redo of sorts, and they're going to be using like the Flashpoint Paradox arc to do that. Similar to the new Spider-Man, where it's going to be multiverse, kind of nonsense. Which I don't know. It seems like DC is kind of starting to get its act together. They aren't doing like the whole. I think they've kind of figured it out to a point where it's not like constant dumpster fires. Because like Birds of Prey was pretty well received. Snyder Cut's been well received, and I think that the Snyder Cut I think reinvigorated a lot of it.
Yeah, turns out when the original director who directed like 80% of everything goes with his initial vision, turns out it's pretty good.
I think we've talked about this before, but the biggest issue with it is that like he had to leave production very late because of like family tragedies and stuff like that. But like cool, like that's fine, get someone else to like take over for him, but you don't get Joss Whedon, who is so tonally different. Like, Zack Snyder and Joss Whedon are, like, you can't get, like, two more dissimilar people. Like, one is very kind of, like, washed out, drab, and grim, and the other one's like, let's put as much color into this as possible and witty comedy. It's like, no, you can't. It's not work. That's not how it works.
The thing that, I'm getting more and more excited for the Batman, because now I know Matt Reeves is directing it, and Michael Giacchino's doing the fucking music for it.
Yep.
Dude. This is gonna be a fucking movie.
Oh, yeah. Trailer looks freaking awesome.
This is gonna be a movie.
I've heard rumors that early test screenings have... people have been like quoted as saying that it's very kind of horror-esque.
Good.
Which I would find to be interesting, because like Batman as a whole is supposed to be like revolving around fear and like detective work and stuff like that, where you don't really get that in any of the films for the most part, or especially the horror fear element, like point of view from like the criminals, with the exception of like one scene in Batman versus Superman.
They did a little bit in the who's that director?
Nolan.
Yeah, in the Nolan trilogy.
A little bit.
A little bit.
They did more of it in the first Batman Begins, when they first put Batman on the screen, where he's just flying around through the shipping containers. But like the scene in Batman versus Superman where like the cops are searching a dark building, and he's just like he's like all like Grinch pinned himself up against the wall and he, like, scuttles across, like, the wall, and, like, that's the kind of horror stuff that you would expect to see from Batman.
Grinch Hell style. Yeah.
He's just, like, all, like, up in a corner. He's, like, all, like, 4-point, like, the Grinch with Max, and he's like, bless you. Because he had Bat Dog, and Bat Dog sneezed. That's what gave him away to the cops. And then he went on to steal a bunch of Christmas presents and yada, yada, yada. Yeah. I might be confusing the two movies. I don't know. It's been a while.
Oh, no, he was wearing the mask. He was in the little, was that the little mail room?
Yeah. Then, jury duty, blackmail, jury duty.
And then,
Barbara Gordon, Lou Who comes in and she's like, what's going on in here? That movie.
Oh, and then I remember Batman. I was really disappointed because I was like, Batman doesn't kill people, but then you clearly see him burp in a dude's face and the dude fucking dies. Like, come on.
Yeah.
So unrealistic. Batman doesn't kill people.
Yeah, and then they, like, the other movie where, like, Grinch is just casually walking along and straps, like, a thing of dynamite to a guy's chest and throws him over a railing. Come on.
Yeah.
It's mighty rude. I mean, like, I know you hate Christmas, but just straight up blowing up, that's rude.
Yeah. Or the time when the Grinch was like, hey, bro, do you fucking bleed? And then almost stabbed him with a fucking spear.
Yeah. And then they're like...
But then at the last moment, the dude was like, but Christmas! And he's like, what did you say?
What did you say?
What did you say? Christmas.
And then his heart grew 3 sizes that day, and he spared the man's life.
And then immediately died from an enlarged heart.
Yeah. Goes into a sudden cardiac arrest and just drops dead. And then in the process of dropping dead, he drops a spear on the man and it pierces his heart and he dies. So then it's just 2 weird, fucked up, like, mutant-looking people dead in the shambling ruins of a tower.
In the shambling ruins of Whoville.
Seuss took a dark turn in his later years.
Oh, but then the Grinch was revived, and he, like, shaved, and then he went and fought Sonic.
In his giant mech, yes. It was the crossover of the century. He had to be there. He's like, this green fur isn't doing it for me. People hate green. You know what they love? Bald men with mustaches and a mech fighting a blue hedgehog.
I mean, people did love it.
After they redesigned the hedgehog.
Yeah, I still kind of think they intentionally fucked up the design.
So they could do, like, viral marketing.
Like, it would make more sense that they made, like, that one, like, trailer.
Yeah.
With that Sonic, and then just made the rest of it with the actual Sonic.
Or they did the long con, where they actually used the original trailer Sonic throughout the entire movie, but did development on both of the character models, and then they just had to go through and swap in the new one after people were like,
yeah,
they're ruining our childhoods.
Yeah, they did some new Coke shit on that.
They're just like, they export the trailer and everything, and then they just like, all right, people are gonna hate this, and then they post it or publish it, and then they control Z, and they're like, all right, we're all set. Send this off to the theater for launch. This is the actual character model. We'll make up some BS about having to delay it because we have to do the character model again or something, and we'll call it a day. We'll get a nice couple of, like, 2 months off.
Can't fool us. Fucking Paramount, whoever the fuck did that.
I see through the lies of the Jedi.
I don't remember who did that. I could look it up. I have a computer literally right in front of me.
It was, I think, Paramount.
Sonic movie.
Yeah, Paramount.
Hell yeah. I'm a fucking genius. I'm a statistician.
We saw through the lies of the Jedi at Paramount. We did it. Come at us. Or don't. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do. Ben Schwartz was Sonic. Interesting.
Yep. It is the first installment in a planned Sonic the Hedgehog film series.
Oh, good grief. I don't...
Oh, my God.
I don't get why there's this, like, whole idea that in order to make it, like, legitimate and official that some sort of... it has to be film series. You know what I mean? Like, what is... Like,
if... It doesn't... everything has to be a fucking franchise.
Well, like, if you're going to make something a franchise, like, let's say a book, and you're going to take a book... And like a book series and make some sort of visual media of it, whether movie, TV, or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't understand why, like, the be all end all seems to always be like, oh, we have to make a movie for, like, a movie series for this.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, in so many instances, you just have to cut so much detail in order for that to work.
I understand it, though, because it's kind of the same thing with, The Witcher. You just you want to see, you want to actually physically see it.
No, like, I get that, but, like, there's still, like, that stigma about making it a TV show. Like, if they tried to do Game of Thrones as a movie, that would have been a shit show, and it would have been hated. But because they did it as a TV series, and you can take longer with that and explore more nuance, and, like, because you're doing multiple 1 hour episodes over the course of what was it, 3 years ago that they ended? 2018? So, 7 years? Like, you can actually, like, flesh it out, and it's just so much better for it. But, like, you take massive books and try to distill that into, like, a 2-hour-ish movie to be, like, your average film length, and you have to cut so much content sometimes, and it just drastically alters it. And it just becomes a disappointment.
Like Harry Potter, when, like, everyone, like, every single character's motivations in the first Harry Potter is just completely fucking removed from the movie.
Yeah, like, well, I guess the first two are, because the books are super short, are pretty much, like, just almost line for line from the book, for the most part, with some minor differences.
Well, I mean, the first movie, like, why do Ron, Harry, and Hermione think Snape is the one trying to kill Harry? Just because he's creepy. That's it. That's all you get in the movie. He's the creepy Slytherin guy. That's why he's trying to kill Harry.
I think that's kind of how they address it in the book. It's been a while since I've listened or read the book, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to go back the book.
But, like, but Goblet of Fire is, like, the big issue one, where it's just like, here's a bunch of cool stuff. But because this is a
500-page book. Oh, my God, like the fucking final maze.
Yeah. It's like, it's just...
the Sphinx and spiders.
And the upside down...
Sorry, Andromaculas or whatever the hell.
And now it's just like, it's...
Running through a maze.
Misty, and it's spooky because the hedges will close on you.
Yeah, and Victor dies or something.
Yeah, he just gets knocked out.
Oh, that's right. That's right, Harry stupefies him, because he goes all like,
he gets all imperial.
I'm gonna hurt you, Harry.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give you another scar on your little forehead.
Or and I get why. Like, even if they were able to dedicate more time to it, I don't think they would have put a lot of time into, like, the Quidditch World Cup, because it's like, doesn't necessarily play much into the plot. Doesn't play much into the key plot of the overarching story that they're trying to tell. In the book, it does play a whole lot of, like, it plays a significant amount in, like, the Weasley twins subplot, but, like, with their betting and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you smash cut to two movies later, or, like, even just the fifth one where they're like, oh, we've got a business now. It's like, okay, cool. Where'd you get the money? See, your family ain't exactly wealthy.
The thing I didn't like... in Goblet of Fire, and I think this was just present in the book and the movie, I felt it was more so in the movie. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the that's not the real Mad-Eye Moody plot line. We never got to know the real Mad-Eye Moody in the movies, or really in the books for that matter, that I remember.
No. And I think that's why the twist works in the way that it does, because it's like, we don't know what the baseline Moody is. We are just told that he's like a legendary dark wizard catcher who's like just batshit crazy.
But it like doesn't make sense in the movie. Like, why, if he is a bad, if he's secretly a Death Eater, mm-hmm. why does he like give so much shit to Neville, like fucking bully him in the middle of class and then be like, hey, here's some tea. Let's talk it out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, at that point, I don't know.
That is a movie contrivance, because in the book, Dobby gives the info for the Gillyweed to Harry, and they're like, well, we don't want to spend a bunch of special effects money on a house elf, because that was a pain in the ass in number two. So we're just going to get rid of anything having to do with house elves until we can't avoid them anymore. And, Neville's a character that's has a name and we haven't seen or heard much of since like who knows when. Let's give him something to do.
I'll fight you.
Pretty much.
I'm really, really sorry about this.
Yeah, pretty much. He's like, that was his biggest contribution up and until that point.
Yeah. He gets Gryffindor 10 points to give him the house cup.
Mm-hmm. Which is just a completely rude injustice by Dumbledore. It's like, oh, you guys like worked hard, but you're the bad guys, so fuck you.
Well, to be fair, they kind of did like save the school a little bit.
Sort of. But in fairness, stone was never in any real danger.
Well,
Quirrell was never going to get that out of the mirror.
You never know.
Well, the whole idea the only reason Harry got it out of the mirror is because like he wanted to get the stone but not use it. Quirrell's whole thing was like he wanted to get the stone so he could use it, so he was never going to get it. He was just going to stand in that mirror for hours on end until Dumbledore just casually walks in. He's like, hey, how's it going? Fancy seeing you here.
He would have eventually been like, I don't want to use it. Voldemort wants to use it.
I don't think that would have worked.
Hey, if I've learned anything about magic from genies.
Loopholes.
It's all about loopholes. All about them loopholes.
So what you're saying is genies are just like lawyers?
Yes.
Like, technically. Okay. So on the subject of genies and loopholes and stuff like that. So you know how in Aladdin, the Disney Aladdin, they get...
Which Disney Aladdin? There's two Disney Aladdins.
For purposes here, we'll talk about the original one. But it's the same. Okay. It plays out the same in both, I'm pretty sure. It's been a while since I saw Will Smith, that one. But like Aladdin tricks the genie into getting them out of the Cave of Wonders or whatever it's called. He's like,
yeah.
Well, like, you probably couldn't even do it. He's like, oh, I'll show you. And he gets them out. He's like, well, I didn't actually wish it. In the original story, Aladdin gets out by making a wish with a genie.
Yeah. Okay.
The issue being is that he doesn't make the wish with the genie from the lamp. He makes the wish with, like, a different genie. He had two genies.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Like, the original story, he had, like, two genies. Like, he had the genie from the lamp, and then he used his second genie of, like, his belt buckle or whatever the hell it was, and he's like, genie of the belt buckle, I wish that we weren't in this cave anymore. And he's like, cool, done. Which just completely undercuts like Aladdin's like
whole
like street smart, like he's crafty, sly, intelligent. It's like, oh, okay, like why are you here? Well, if you've already got a genie in your pocket.
Well, the original story was written back when Middle Eastern people were viewed as yikers.
Well, yeah. But like
any slightly brown person was a yikers.
Yeah, but like the idea that like what are you doing if you've already got a genie? Like, why are you still like a street urchin, like, working off these gigs. Like, what are you doing? You have a genie. You basically have three opportunities for whatever you want. You just have to word it very carefully, otherwise you're screwed.
And now you have six.
Well, at least five, because he wished to get out of the cave.
Well, yeah, yeah.
But, like, what?
See, here's the thing. You can't wish for more wishes, but could I just wish for another genie?
Oh, shit. Loophole.
Like, you use your first two wishes, and, like, I wish for another genie. Three wishes.
And then you just do that.
Oh, no. You can't wish for more wishes, but I can wish for a genie that gives me five wishes. Oh,
hell.
I wish for a genie that gives me 10 wishes. I wish for a genie that gives me infinite wishes.
Or you could just be like, I wish for a genie that gives me, like, 10 to the 10 millionth power wishes, which is functionally infinite. Oh, yeah,
because you can't do infinity, because that's just... But you're a number of wishes so absurd.
Yeah, you just
that you'll just give it
some sort of, like...
Hell yeah.
It's not infinite, but it's functionally infinite.
Yes.
Or you can be, like, super pedantic and be like, according to my mathematical axioms, I can count to infinity, therefore.
Therefore, infinity is a number.
Yeah. I was, a couple weeks ago now.
I wish for Half-Life 3.
I was watching a Vsauce video, and he was going through the philosophical musings of what constitutes a chair and whether chairs actually exist. It was super interesting, but also, like, what are you talking about?
No, I hate, like, I hate going through philosophy because it's so
dumb.
I just, yeah, it's dumb because I've heard a lot of like philosophy arguments listening to political debates. Yeah. Talking about, like, transgenderism and, like, talking about how we label things and, like, dude, there's no, like, hard set, like, definition for what we label a man or a woman, so we can't, yeah. And, like, is a chair really a chair?
Yeah, that was kind of, like...
I fucking hate philosophy.
It was, some of it was, like, at what point does the collection of atoms and molecules and base components become a chair?
Constitute a chair.
And at what point, by removing it, does it become a not a chair?
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, like, I get, like, this all makes sense to a point, but this is just dumb.
I like thinking that Socrates, back in the day, he was just an asshole. Just walk around, like, the common square and, like, just asking people questions and playing, like, the what or, like, the why game at, like, fucking 2-year-old. And then, like, I imagine the painting of Socrates' death is just everyone like, oh my god, shut the fuck up, thank god.
They're like, finally, this asshole is dead. We don't have to deal with any of his bullshit anymore. And then all of his disciples are like, actually.
Is he really dead? What does it mean to be dead?
And then everyone else in the square is like, we can very quickly show you if you don't shut up and get out of here. And they're like, okay.
If we keep reading his teachings, does he ever really die?
Yeah. Philosophy is such a irritating...
I hate it. It's useful. But I hate any, like, I don't know, philosophical musings is just dumb. Yeah. I hate it. It's so,
When philosophy and philosophical musings get to that point where it's like,
what is a chair?
Yeah, it's like, no, this is stupid. It has a time and a place, but...
It is not right now. It is almost never. Please go away. Man.
Hour 35.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like an hour and a half, ending on philosophy is a pretty pretty good place to end. Kill it like Socrates.
I'm just gonna end the podcast right there.
Oh no, you gotta end it with kill it like Socrates. Nah, more like kill it like Socrates nuts.